what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens. Happens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I almost said broadcast, which is a whole different podcast. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me as always is the wonderful and lovely Ronnie Karam. Hey Ronnie.
Hello there, Ben.
Hello. So everyone, I hope you're all excited because we have this wonderful news, which is that we just recorded 15 minutes of this podcast. And then my computer crashed, and we lost it all, and it's too bad. So if we sound a little sad, that's why. Because we did a whole.
Well, what did you have open on your goddamn computer?
No, it wasn't.
You were playing Candy Crush or some shit where you're.
Actually, I will tell you what I had open.
Okay, it wasn't Cupid or some shit on there.
It wasn't anything I had in my computer. It was my blue microphone. The cable moved. And then, I picked
That's
up my phone.
Crying out loud, get a Barclay card already.
I am going to, because when the cable moves, it crashed the computer. And when it crashed the computer, everything that we recorded got corrupted. So everyone, I'm so sorry. There was a great little Chef Penny thing that we did. And we'll, you know, who knows? Well, maybe we'll try to recreate it later. But, you know, it's got to come organically.
No, yeah, it's dead.
It's dead. But what we can recreate, though...
Chef Penny wasn't even around at the time organic became popular, darling. All right, Chef Penny's old squirty sauces designs on plates.
Chef Penny, you cannot leave your purse. When you leave your purse, you corrupt all the footage, Chef Penny.
Organic is not sexy, Chef Penny. All right, so I'm going to get this part over really quick. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrafts to support us and get bonus materials like extra content and ringers and Google Hangout parties and our bonus episode that's every week. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrafts, to talk to other listeners, make us laugh, and talk about shows as they air every week. Also, come to our watchwhatcrafts.com if you want to know our social media links like our Twitters and Facebooks, etc. Thanks.
Yeah. And also something about the Watch What Crappens page. I am going to rehash this. First of all, we have to give a big shout out to Kelly Ann Lee Redinger, who made a Watch What Crappens bingo board, which is amazing. If you don't like the Facebook page, well, you should like it. Come over and look at it. It's like this great grid of things like if you're playing bingo along with the podcast, anytime someone goes, "That's so Persian," or "Chef Penny, darling," or MJ gets a delivery, which was also happened during the lost footage of episode 173 point whatever this is. So that is amazing. Thank you so much for making that. And the other thing that we talked about that I am going to mention again is that I went onto our iTunes page and someone left a comment. This was Loveline Fan, who said, "I wish you guys would stick more to the actual content of the show rather than the random rambling tangents that have absolutely no purpose other than entertaining yourselves. Example, January 28th show with a good half hour of hypothetical Chef Penny conversations with Lisa Vanderpump. So boring, not funny." So here's the thing. What I just want, and so
listen, let me just explain something. All right, we do this to entertain ourselves. We just happen to start recording it because we figured maybe our moms would listen to it occasionally. Yeah. We're so lucky that anybody actually listens to this shit. But we are doing this to entertain ourselves. Yeah. So fuck off, Loveline Fan. And you know what else? Loveline is all about like how to deal with herpes for the rest of your life. Okay, get a goddamn life. Go to a bar and meet somebody. Stop listening to Dr. Brute. Drew, give herpes advice, all right? Stupid bitch.
Yeah, so the thing is this. I bring this up not to troll Loveline Fan necessarily, although I welcome it.
Too late.
But I did it. It's
to
more because...
Mean. You did it to bait me into trolling Loveline Fan.
Yes. No, the reason why was because when I posted on the page, I said, because Loveline Fan made an example of how much he or she hated the hypothetical Chef Penny conversations... So I posted, I said, "Looks like Chef Penny has been commenting on our iTunes page." And I just want to clarify, I don't think it's actually Chef Penny. So I was making a joke because they pointed out Chef Penny. So if you...
Chef Penny's personal Facebook page has been filled with, fuck off, you leave Ben and Ronnie alone, yeah. You dumb bitch.
So if you're feeling like trolling Chef Penny because she left a bad iTunes review for us, you don't have to do that. We think she had nothing. Chef Penny. Yeah, we actually do love Chef Penny.
I actually watched Chef Penny on her season of the Food Network Star, yeah. And she was so hilariously awkward because her whole thing was about sex food.
Yeah.
Like making food sexy, like trying to make a peanut butter sandwich look like a gash or whatever. So you got to respect somebody like that. Bold. Bold.
Do you remember
if you can make Giada that uncomfortable every week, I commend you, woman.
Do you remember the episode when she had to be like extra sexy and she had like a rose as a prop and she was sort of like standing with her back to the camera and then she like turned her head around and she's like, oh, hello, I'm Chef Penny and this is some sexy food with pomegranate seeds.
Yeah,
it was like the most awkward.
Pomegranate seeds sexy.
I know, they look like little red deer poop.
They look like
but they taste delicious.
They look like little period scabs.
Little ovulations.
Yeah, that is not sexy. Little red dots dropping all over and popping in your mouth. It's not sexy, Chef Penny.
Chef Penny, please, do not create a pomegranate menopause plate. I wish
the
you guys heard...
Hurrah. That dish was called the last hurrah, right before menopause.
I wish you guys had heard the original version of this conversation. It was much less disgusting. It was like, Chef Penny.
The more desperate we get, the more disgusting we get. You see? Now we're desperate. Reuse.
The first version of this, when we talked about Chef Penny, we're like, Chef Penny, make some tuna tartare. This time we're like, hey, Chef Penny, make an ovulation out of pomegranate seeds. Chef Penny, put it in the planter and stick your face in it and throw up, Chef Penny. Yeah,
we went from some nice, innocent conversation to periods, guys.
We're like flustered.
Sorry, Chef Penny.
Darling, Chef Penny's cutting edge of culinary food. Salmon mousse that comes out of a planter shaped like a vagine. Ew. We're... Sorry, everyone. Also, by
I
the way...
I hope that Chef Penny gets to come onto the reunion.
I hope she gets to cater it. She's like, darling, here's some crackers. I love how now I'm giving her the Lisa Vanderpump voice. Darling, I've been told that I can only speak like Lisa Vanderpump if I want to continue working.
No, Chef Penny's not. She has more of a, like, I'm sexy.
No, she's not. You're making her Adrian Maloofy. She's has that more of a. She sort of sounds like this. She sort of sounds like this. Like, oh, like the ticket. The ticket's not working. The system's down. Chef Penny, push out those plates. It's
she
opening night.
Like
soft
all of
opening.
All my Lebanese aunts rolled into one. The lesbian, the short one, the nice one. They're all rolled into one.
She looks like actually this a Persian girl that I went to college with named Naz.
Grape leaves.
But Naz is much
sexy.
Prettier. Yeah.
All right, so anyway, moving on from Chef Penny. The point wasn't that you can't leave us shitty reviews, because shitty reviews are just as fun to read as good reviews. It's just we just wanted to say don't attack Chef Penny, because she didn't really write that review.
Yeah, that's all. And also...
I do attack Loveline fans. Yeah. Attack them.
I will never... By the way, I will never move on from Chef Penny. I may stop talking about her, but I will never move on.
No, I won't either.
Yeah.
How can you?
I
as long as Lisa is still serving dishes, sexy dishes from the 80s, Chef Penny will live on.
We should go to Pump and get some food. You know, Jezebel recently did a culinary tour of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants.
I think we talked about that last week.
And they panned it, but I would like to... Pandy! They pandied it!
They pandied it! Which means it's too fatty for the amount that you're getting, Tony.
They have a divine addiction to Chef Penny's food. Crab cakes for everyone!
Gay husbands all around. All right, get this fatty piece of meat and gain a gay husband to help you sell your sangria, darling.
Chef Penny, we need ants on a log at table 33. Stat.
Darling, peanut logs for dessert.
Darling, molten chocolate cakes everywhere. Every table gets one. Soft opening.
Squeeze it and it oozes. Sexy, darling.
Chocolate right. Truffles. Stat. Okay, so... I don't even know. Our Chef Penny rants don't even make any sense. Just like,
oh, I figured out what I was trying to say before. The tiny, tiny, tiny wieners in a can, darling. Put a toothpick in them. They're not hot dogs anymore. They're Vienna sausages. All right, darling. Let's make it classy. Class up the hot dog.
What do we call them? When you were trying to call tiny sausages in a can, we called them something else in the lost footage. Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, so
okay,
today
so
we...
I think we're actually past the lost footage part. All we got to was the first scene of Real Housewives of Melbourne, yeah. Janet with her gigantic nostril trying to pretend she's innocent with Gina, who's like about to put her on the electric chair.
We are actually doing... We are at a fast pace. Wait, one second, right before we start with Melbourne, I just want to let everyone know this is the first week that we're going to two episodes a week. So for this episode, we're going to talk about Real Housewives of Melbourne and Atlanta and Blood, Sweat, and Heels. And on later this week, you're going to get Shaws, and you're going to get Southern Charm, and you're going to get Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So on that note, Melbourne, now.
Melbourne, darling.
So actually, I got some gossip. This was also from the lost footage. And this is also for your little Watch What Crappens bingo board, which is that I was Ubering an Australian... And the Australian said that La Mascara is a big deal in Melbourne, and that Jackie's actually a pretty big personality out there.
I don't understand what she would be doing to be a big personality, but I guess maybe just like a housewives thing?
Yeah, probably. Probably something like that. You know, she's married.
Probably just going all over the place pronouncing her own brand wrong. It's La Mascara. La Mascara. La Mascara.
Listen,
La Mascara.
She's married to Silverchair. That's royalty in Australia.
I'm rich and I'm gorgeous and I'm married to Silverchair.
Oh, I'm getting a psychic vibe that you can get on a plane, a train, or an automobile. One of those has got to come true very soon. Oh, I'm about to get into a car. Oh, there it is. The angels. The angels will never lie about what sort of transportation you take.
I've got my angel's telling me that someone's going to try and use Janet's head as a bowling ball, but only get one finger in before giving up.
Janet's
nostril looks like a cave open. It looks like there was a regular cave, but then Jesus rose from one cave and stretched it out just so we can get out of there and then rose to heaven. What's happening with her nostril?
She gave birth to a nostril.
She had the biggest booger of her life, darling.
Did too much cocaine. oh no, but she doesn't do cocaine. She does heroin and sells her body for it. So,
well, snortable.
Yeah, Janet. Well, what one thing that we also talked about was that how Janet, she has, you know, she's pretty. And, you know, for someone her age who's had as much plastic surgery as she's had, I think she looks pretty good. Like, her face could be much more demented than it is.
Well, when they said she was 53, I almost spit up my coat.
That is,
I mean, that girl, if she's 53, she looks horrible. If she's 73, she looks amazing.
Yeah, she's
so
clearly 73.
So it just depends on where the truth lies.
I would love to see pictures of her when she was in her 20s or 30s, because you know she was probably a knockout.
Yeah, I'm sure she was gorgeous. Thin and gorgeous, darling. Blonde, thin and gorgeous white woman. You've got
circular nostrils and all. No triangles.
But I'm reading... I read these recaps to keep up on my notes, because I don't write notes for every single scene, but some of these lines... One is a barrister and the other is a piece of driftwood that magically came to life one day on the shores of Melbourne. And that's pretty accurate. It's a pretty accurate Janet.
Yeah, that's very accurate.
She looks like a one-faced totem pole. Oh, that nose. With that nostril, though. Those totem poles always have those gigantic nostrils. I grew up near an Indian reservation.
One-faced totem pole. It's like someone just gave up. They're like, oh, we've carved something grotesque. We have to stop this totem pole.
Parts just piled on top of each other like that.
Chef Penny, what are you doing with that totem pole? Get back into the kitchen. This is awful. This is an awful
totem
pole.
Stop staring at that nostril and get back here to toothpick up these Vienna sausages, darling. Got a very sexy party coming up. Mango and Derek are getting married today, all right?
Get some beet salad with goat cheese, Chef Penny. Get in there right now.
We're canceling the beet. Too much like bleeding, darling. I want anything that looks like small penises, all right? Sexy small penises on the menu.
Chef Penny, okay, I appreciate all your help on the next bar that's going to be totem pole themed, but enough. We need to put more planters in the restaurant, and you need to get back on the tuna tartare station.
Planters.
So okay,
Chef Penny, don't leave your post, but there's a crane bringing a planter into the restaurant.
Those planters are like little swimming pools.
Chef Penny, okay, we have made a planter out of a totem pole, okay? So please, just get out of the way. It needs to be loaded in. Get back to the tuna tartare station.
We're putting a pine tree in Janet's nostril, darling. All right? Let's get in there and start working on those phallic desserts.
Chef Penny, why haven't we seen any salmon mousse? You know we need to fill up the entire planter with salmon mousse for opening day at Totem.
Salmon mousse.
Totem is... Pump is where you take your boyfriend. Sir is where you take your mistress. And Totem is where you take your immigrant friend.
Totem was where you take your friend who was kicked out of his own country and then disrespected on a casino for the rest of his life.
We've hired Cedric to be the host.
We found out Cedric was a Native American, darling. He's rehired, but he's not allowed to leave the reservation. He'll get arrested.
And our chief waitress had sex with Brandy's boyfriend, JR. I don't know. Totem. It's all the rage.
All right. So Real Housewives of Melbourne opens with Janet and Gina sitting down to lunch. And Janet thinks it's going to be this fun, nice conversation. And Gina's like, listen, you're up for the death penalty for what you said to Gamble. She's my friend. I don't appreciate that. You're going to go to jail now. You're going to go to prison where you're going to be raped by penises and then electrocuted to death. What do you think of that, you terrible person?
Janet's like, it was a rumor. I was sharing a rumor.
Yeah, well, she's my friend now. So now you're going to go to jail. You're going to get raped by a big, large woman named Marge in charge, darling. Hope you enjoy that, you horrible human being.
Her eyeballs are going to come out of her face when you ask her for directions. She's a truck driver. Don't ask her to go to the Alamo.
Gina was awesome in this episode because I love when Gina just like goes to town and stays really calm and just tells somebody off.
Yeah, just destroys them. She, I mean, I would love to see her in court because she eviscerated Janet, and I'm like, I'm on Janet's side, but I still think that Gina eviscerated her, and it was great to watch.
Yeah, I did too, because this has nothing to do with that other person. Everybody in Melbourne. As no one cares about Gamble, Gina just has a chance to yell at Janet again, and she's taking it.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen here, you box troll. I'm going to grab that nostril and pitch a tent in it and camp there for a week with my friends and then sue you for your fire ordinance, all right, you horrible person? She doesn't give a crap. She's just going to take her down no matter what, and I love it.
Yeah. Gamble's like, I don't appreciate the rumors. I don't appreciate them at all. I'm going to go eat some Parmesan cheese and appreciate the Parmesan cheese.
The rumors you were smutting about to me made no sense to me.
I like how you add shades of Sheena to your Gamble.
And also German people.
Yeah. Little Thomas Kramer. Sit down, shut up, and appreciate the rumors.
I'm Jessica Ling from Freak Show.
Oh, my freaky fleeks.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny. Janet actually ran out of that restaurant terrified, and then she turned around and tried to use Gina's stupid line. Gina's like, all right then, have fun then crossing the street.
Janet's like, oh yeah, my deck of cards, darling. My deck of cards are gonna fall, and then there's gonna be cards on the floor. Give me a break.
I actually love that moment. I love that moment. She's like, deck of cards, my deck of cards. And then all Gina does is she just goes, terrible person. She's like putting her, like wiping her mouth. She's like, terrible person.
The recap says, way to leave an impression that's as lasting and original as this ratchet ass tattoo, Janet. And
oh, I know.
Janet's shoulder tattoo, which looks like the Hannibal cover. It's like a snake.
Yeah.
But like, it's like a doctor's, what is that? It's symbol, but it's a snake.
You know that Janet, like 20 years ago, used to hang out with Vicky Gunvalson because that is a tattoo that you only get at Lake Havasu or Andalays.
Like the car wash at Lake Havasu.
Everybody gets tattoos at Lake Havasu.
Oh, Janet. Janet Ratchet is a good way to describe her. But yeah, I want Gina on my side in any kind of fight.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't give a shit what it is. She'll win.
I love Gina. I love Gina. We should try to get Gina on the show. I mean, anytime we tweet at her, she favorites our tweets. So we should.
I think she does that to everyone. No offense. I mean, not to burst your bubble, but I think if anything is like, Gina's great, everyone's like, XO tweet. Gina's like, retweet, retweet, retweet.
Yeah, but don't take that away from me.
Sorry, too late. Took it away. It's dead.
Thanks, Loveline fan.
It's me. I'm like, did you hear how Ben was talking about chocolate lava cake? Fuck that guy.
Quick, Chef Penny, Ben's feeling sad. Make him a cupcake. A new fancy cupcake.
By the way,
cupcake.
People asking us to bring back Matt. We love Matt. We did not fire Matt. And we've asked him to come back like 20 times. And he's like, I'm busy. He's busy because he's thin now, all right? He's got a dance card. tweet him and tell him to eat more so he can get fat and bitter again and come back for a while.
He looks great.
He does look great. Yeah. Oh my God, talk about maintenance. I still follow him on the Life on the M list.
Yeah, of course, me too.
He looks hot.
He looks great. Good for you, Matt.
Slap him in his face with my penis, and sometimes I do on the picture.
Matt, we say good for you, and if you're not listening, I know one of y'all is listening, and I mean, we could just text him, but it sounds nicer if someone says, hey.
Yeah, we love you, Matt.
So, Jesus, I know you're out there. You can tell Matt. We love him.
I'll never forget you.
Speaking of Love Fest, then we can go to Cheeker and her husband. What's her husband's name again?
Oh God, Cheeker and Hagfag.
His name? I don't know. Nathan Lane. He's like, oh Cheeker, you've been a bad girl. You've been shopping again. She's like, oh no, I haven't been. And then she's like, don't tell him I've been shopping a little bit. And he's like, well, I gotta go to Qatar. I've spoken to Qataris. You gotta go. She's like, oh, I just spoke with Jackie. She said you're getting on a plane. Oh my God, isn't that great? You look great in that outfit.
Everywhere they go sounds like a Star Wars town.
I know.
Qatar. Turak. I just want them to walk in on that bar set with all the aliens.
Well, that's probably what that bar is normally like. Remember when they had like dinner and they're like, we rented out the bar for the night. Like normally there's a guy, like a blue elephant guy playing like an organ.
Yeah, that's who I remember too, the elephant guy.
He's like, and B. Arthur.
With three like snouts on his head.
And B. Arthur comes out. You ever see that video from the 1978 when B. Arthur appeared in the Star Wars special?
No.
It's like B. Arthur in the Star Wars canteen, and like she is like singing a cabaret song with the blue elephant dude. It's the craziest thing.
B. Arthur's cabaret is weird shit. I bought her last album when she went on like this one woman tour. She had a Broadway thing and then went on tour, and she has like a whole 5-minute song about how to cook a lamb chop.
I love that.
I mean, that's seriously all it is. She's like, and then you marinate it. Put it in the refrigerator. Give it an hour. And put it in the oven. And then like hundreds of gay guys are like, yeah, girl, you go, girl.
Ronnie, I really resent that you sully the legacy of B. Arthur with Adrian Maloof's voice.
B. Arthur is where Adrian Maloof got her voice. It's like B. Arthur died and Adrian Maloof got a package in the mail and it was B. Arthur's voice.
It was like Ursula was like, all right, here's your voice, Adrian. Sorry, it's the next one on the market. Adrian Maloof used to be a mermaid. She's like, And Ursula's like, ooh, I can't do much of this bitch. Here, you can have the legs free of charge. Get out of my ocean. Under the sea. That's where I'll be. My spray tan on every shell. Hey, Sebastian. Have a surrogate baby with me. Where's Flounder?
A whole new world.
Oh, now she's in Aladdin. She's like, they're like, send it to Arabia.
What's the one where she sings or she just wants to be? Oh yeah, part of your world,
part of the Maloofs. She's like, I don't know the lyrics to that song. I'm like, all I know is part of your world.
I thought it was Aladdin.
She's like, She's like, what do you call this thing? A basketball team? No, it's a fork.
I tried to start a basketball team in the sea, but the ball just kept rising to the surface. Fucking sea. Out of your world.
We got two basketball teams. Two basketball players. We're recruiting these. I know these two eels from the ocean. They'll be great on the team. Sorry, Adrian. I don't think you're really right for the Maloof organization. I'm going to go to Ursula. Get myself part of it. Okay. Oh, it's gone in a strange direction.
Adrian Maloof works in any show we're talking about.
Basically, in our version of Adrian Maloof's The Little Mermaid, she gets legs so that way she can be part of management for the Sacramento Kings. It's not
and then
to get
move
a
them and then betray them by betray the small town by moving them.
Yeah.
Where Ariel becomes evil.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Okay, so anyway, back to Cheeker. This was a long scene about how Cheeker went shopping and she bought some clothes. Bruce. And it may not be a size 2, but, you know, bigger girls can still spend a lot of that gay husband's money. And Jackie just told me my husband was going to be giving blowjobs out of town somewhere, and there he goes.
You go, Jackie. I believe in angels, darling.
And Brucey's like, listen, we got a cater. We got a cater, someone who's royalty in Qatar, getting royalty. So we're going to hire Chef Penny to make some of a Viennese sausage on a stick and bring him to the royalty in Qatar.
And they're building like some stadium or something. I mean, I don't care. I like Chica, but man, she's boring. And
I know. Hey, I actually love Chica. Editors,
we don't need 10 minutes of Chica if she's building something and wearing a hard hat. Okay, just show her doing it and let's just move on.
Chica is so nice and perfectly lovely. It's amazing because any chance that she has to be a crazy reality star, she just doesn't. Like when they all went golfing, so she meets up with Gamble beforehand and she's like, Gamble? I just want to say something to you. You know, I feel very terrible about the way things went down, and I apologize for my part in it, and I really didn't mean to hurt you, and for any hurt that you feel, I'm very sorry. I'm like, Cheeker, this is a TV show. Why'd you do that?
She is so smart, though, because then by the end, Janet's like,
how did she do that? She
slithered through.
Yes, now she's calling her a snake. Ooh, girl, you better watch out.
Mm-hmm. Gamble's like, I appreciate that. I appreciate you apologizing to me.
But well, we're skipping to the end now. We saw very important things happening. Oh, my favorite is the next scene when Janet and Jackie go shopping together to buy golf clothes.
Yeah.
And Janet's like,
Gina was mean to me.
And starts like fake crying and no tears come out. And Jackie's like, I can't believe she'd do that. Who would do that to another person? What a horrible person. I really miss Andrea. I wish Andrea was still on the show.
I know, because Andrea would be the one to step up and be and like start like a hate campaign.
Totally.
She'd be like, well, that's wrong.
We're taking her out.
I think it's time for me to give Gina a little bit of advice. Ask some advice. You know, next time you have an issue with someone, don't get involved. It's none of your opinion. That's just my little advice. I'm friendly advice. Ooh. Hey, you know what I call Gina? I call Gina a lady who gives some advice that's not wanted.
I don't call Gina a barrister. I call her a scarister.
Hey, Gina, you know what you are? You're someone who goes into a courthouse and practices law.
Hey, Gina, you think you've got a job, but you're just a barrister.
Hey, Gina, you know what you did when you ruined lunch the other day? It's like you took a perfectly nice meal and you made it awful.
Queen of the terrible put down.
Yeah.
Come back, Andrea. Come back, Andrea. I heard she was a stand-up comic now. Oh, Andrea.
Oh.
Please let us watch that on TV.
She and Claudia Jordan can go on a comedy tour.
Yeah. The terrible the terrible plastic whore faces of comedy.
Yeah. Well, actually, a little side note. Our dear Angie Thomas, we all love Angie from the Small Potatoes podcast. We were hanging out last night, and she showed me an Instagram photo that Gretchen Rossi and Sheena did a comedy show two nights ago at like the Acme Theater.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You saw that?
No, I didn't.
Just imagine it.
I felt like I knew that, but I didn't know that. But that's how shocking that is in my head.
It
sounds totally, totally normal.
Yeah, I got like a chill down my spine at some point the other night, and I suddenly felt queasy and sick, and it must have been because there was terrible comedy happening somewhere in the city. Like,
So next up we have Jaina going to get photographed.
Yeah.
For something. What was that for?
No, she just has a lot of TV appearances lately. I think it was for her book, actually. I don't know.
Oh, it says Gina decides to make a few more of my dreams come true and invites us to a photo shoot she's commissioned now that she's a superstar.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so it's just a photo shoot for herself. Yeah. And then the photographer makes her sit awkwardly on some car.
Yeah. At least she,
Torino. Sorry, I didn't stop talking. I'm just looking at the picture like, wow, was more awkward than I remembered.
The best part about Gina is that she is all like sexy Gina and everything, and she's all about exuding confidence. But then she becomes like so sweet and awkward when she is on this car because she knows it's like sort of like not her thing and it's not her style and she'll just look ridiculous. And it's like sort of nice seeing that like insecurity come out, sort of also when she wore sneakers later, you know, and that's what I think we like about about Junior, as opposed to Andrea last season, who when she does a photo shoot, she does this like very awkward pose, like that, like a strange prom like pose, and you know, to show that she's the boss and she knows what she's doing. And it was like the worst photo of all time.
Oh yeah, those were bad.
Real
but
bad.
This one, you know, Gina makes sure she goes to the most perverted old dude she can find.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, give me some of that breast. Yeah, girl, yeah. I can smell your sex through the camera. Think of this camera as one giant nose that's smelling your sex, darling. All right, now spread it. Show me. I'm beaver hunting, darling. Remember how I used to like to beaver hunt? She's like, you're terrible. You're awful.
What terrible person.
Oh, you. Oh, yeah. You.
Oh, you.
You're a bad boy. The reason I like to come to him is because he's a bad boy. And he's like, yeah, give it to me. Yeah. I wish my penis could get hard right now. I'd be bumping up against my jeans. It's hard in my head, darling. Yeah. All right, you want me like this? This car's hot. Maybe get it out of the sun. And then they showed the pictures of the of her, and it's like her face with a bright light because the garage door is open behind her. I was like, oh, no. You can't even use this for pamphlet covers.
Oh, Gina.
And then what happened after photographer? Let's see here. Golfing.
Golfing. There was some. Oh, Golfy. I feel so, by the way, I feel so bad for people listening to this podcast for the first time. They must have no idea. Like, we make so many noises and sounds.
That is Gamble talking to her future husband.
Wolfie. The girls were mean to me, Wolfie. What do you have to say about that, Wolfie? Remember when we met on eHarmony, Wolfie?
Oh, Wolfie, remember when we met at that sex party that we never had? Of course not. It's a rumor. Defamation. Well, I'm definitely going to sue for defamatory defamation now.
I remember the time I clicked on your picture, Wolfie, and I was worried because it looked... When you said incontinent, I thought, oh, that's a man of the world.
Yeah, he's in a continent.
I thought they just couldn't keep you on one continent, Wolfie. I was afraid you'd be traveling too much, but it just meant you were going to poop your pants, Wolfie. Oh, yay, Wolfie.
Oh, Wolfie. When I saw that you're a senior citizen, I thought that you meant you were a senior in high school and a citizen of Australia. I didn't realize it meant that you were an old person, Wolf. Oh, Wolfie.
Oh, Wolfie, the sun is so mean to us, isn't it, Wolfie?
When so I go golfing, and let's see what happens there. Most of it was just the first 10 minutes was just ladies standing around going, I wonder what Janet's going to wear. There's Janet. You look wonderful, Janet. Oh, I wonder what Chica's going to wear. Oh, Chica, look what Chica always follows the dress code. All right now.
I also love, so basically Chica and Gamble made up, as we previously discussed. Then all the girls arrived. Janet and Shine arrived by helicopter, which was rather unnecessary. And then Lydia wasn't there because she was out of town. Perhaps Mr. Fig had a date. Mr. Figaro had a date somewhere, maybe in Sydney. and then they were like, swinging at the ball, and then I loved that Shine was like, oh, we better get out of the way, I got a feeling that Gina's gonna lose control of the club, and then Gina loses control of the club. She's like, the angels told me. I'm like, I think the angels have something better to do than to weigh in on whether or not Gina's gonna let go of a club, clearly on purpose for TV.
That is the funniest gif of all time, though, Gina golfing and the club flying away.
Yeah.
So then Gina's like, I've got to leave early. I've got to go proof the pictures I took on top of a hot, sexy car. I got a burn on my ass, third degree, but it was worth every penny. You should see the calendar. Every month is the same me on the same car in a different pose.
I said to the photographer said, listen, we want to have you in different poses. And I said, no, you're like cancer. And I'm saying, get that pose out of my system right now. This is the pose I'm doing, and that's that. Cut it out. Cut out that pose from the calendar. I just want one picture every single month. Like
that's
Oprah.
Right. I want my left boob to be slightly leaning in a little more different direction every single time. Other than that, I want it exactly the same, all right? You can't really even tell the difference unless you skip from January to December.
It's, that's why I call this month timeless, because you never know what time it is of the year.
So Gina had to leave early. And
but before she left, all five ladies sort of stood there. And although Pettifleur wasn't even in the episode, which is fine by me. Jackie was like, "So we're all good. I don't really feel a lot of happiness right now. I feel like the things that are unresolved. Shine, shine, shine.
Shine, shine, shine."
And then they hashed it out.
And then she just said sorry, and then it was all okay.
They apologized. It was so weird. Yeah, but they were so angry, and then all of a sudden they hugged, and everything was fine. And then next they're, like, having shots, and they're, like, smiling and laughing and apologizing. And
then saying things like, and then Janet's like, "I forgive, but I don't forget." Like, oh, good one, Janet. And then Gamble's like,
"Well, I guess I couldn't sue her for defamation, because I said lots of nasty things about her, too, but... you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this time I won't get so upset."
"I have to work on it. I'm not proud of it, but, you know, it's what I work on, and, you know, let's do a shot."
So we're going for four episode arcs, I take it, on the show. So next week, someone's going to lose a button, and then they're going to be like, "You stole the button. Someone sabotaged that button."
And then Lydia's going to, like, she'll talk to the camera. She'll nod her head. She'll be like, "Oh, I know where that button is. Nod, nod, nod. It's somewhere."
Like, "But am I bluffing?" Oh.
"I've got five buttons on my shirt, so don't come after me. I got my buttons." She nods. "I know what a button is, too."
She'll be like, "Without a button, you'll be showing everyone your flop." Get it?
"I was at the supermarket and I saw some button mushrooms, so I think we all know who's been stealing the button. It's the supermarket." Nodding.
Stupid Lydia.
She's so stupid.
Okay. Let us move on to the next show then, darling.
Let's move on. Should we move on to Atlanta?
I mean, I'd love it.
Let's do it. I took notes. I took notes on Atlanta.
All right, let's do it. What'd you start with?
Let's just start with the Nene thing first, because that was small, thankfully, and out of the way. So Nene, all the women went to the Philippines for their trip. Nene did not go because she needed to do work with Cinderella, which seemed awfully convenient to me. So she went to New York, and then she had to meet with the creative director of the show. This poor guy, he's probably worked his way up in Broadway over years and years and years, and now he has to sit across from Nene as she's sitting there saying that she wants to use two different accents on Cinderella.
"Can I use two accents?" And he's like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you know, one," and then Nene, a little Nene, comes out. Mm. I'm like, "No, Nene." She's going to be like, "Bippity blop, bippity boppity bloop. Okay?"
She's like,
"Bitch."
She's like, "How about if I say, bye, wig?" I'm like, I hate to break it to you, Nene. Like, we get that reference. But most people watching Cinderella are not going to understand what the hell they're talking about when you say bye wig.
Yeah, they're not coming to see Nene. They're coming to see Kiki. That's Cinderella.
And actually, most people don't even know who Kiki Palmer is either. They just are just going because they see Cinderella and they're going to go. And it's
they're going
for sale.
Tickets, are like $5 on TKTS.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's $5.
Lincoln Center is like has that shit open until the next show starts.
See, you know what would have been fun? It would have been if Nene got a role in Spider-Man, Turn Down the Dark, or whatever it's called.
They're like, "Here's a mask, and we're going to hang you upside down and then drop you."
It's just
you,
like,
bitch.
Swing you around. That's what I would see would be Nene swinging around on some cables.
Oh, Neners.
Yeah. The poor creative director looked like he wanted to shoot himself. But what I thought was really funny was that Nene's excuse for not going on the trip was that she told the woman that she gets blood clots. I'm like, lady, everyone gets blood clots. Just walk around a little bit. But thank God but I loved Kenya.
She's the worst. Nene's honestly the worst. Every time she comes on screen now, I'm just like, God, just make it stop.
But I loved Kenya, who said, "Well, I wish her a happy blood clotless week."
And I love that she couldn't be cleared for travel, and then she flew to New York.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was pretty sad. And she shows up in New York. She's had the script now for months. She shows up in New York. And the guy's like, "Yeah, you're going to have like 5 minutes to rehearse, and then you go on stage. I'm really sorry, but that's just how Broadway is," and blah, blah. She's like, okay, and then opens her script and doesn't know any of the lines. And then when she reads them, she's just reading. She's like, "Cinderella.
Cinderella.
I know.
Come down here and pick the things out of the ashes, Cinderella.
She's totally Olive from Bullets Over Broadway.
You charmed. Know?
Charmed,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, it's like, darling, just remember, in Act 3, it's or not to be. Or not to be.
Oh, not to be, darling.
Darling, just remember that. Just remember that. That's one of my favorites.
To be or line?
That's honestly one of my favorite lines in that movie. It's all. Then she goes, "Oh, you're tired. You're not taking it in." That's what she says. That's what Tracy Ullman says to that character afterwards. Like, it's or not to be.
Uh-oh. MJ's backing up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a big old Mack truck full of sliders and Fritos and Shervin. Shervin's taking an Instagram photo in the middle of all of MJ's sliders.
Also, Nene's like, those girls, they got me so upset, Greg. I mean, we went to this therapy thing, and it turned into Attack Nene Day, okay? They were attacking Nene. And Greg's like, well, baby, here's what I gotta say. When people are like that to you, it's time to back up, look inside of yourself, and realize that Nene is the queen of everything. You understand? Nene got the queen sheen because she the queen of everything. And I'm going to keep it clean because you's my queen. You seen?
Like, okay, Greg. Nice. Like, can we all marry somebody like Greg?
I know.
You're just upset and you're clearly in the wrong, he'll just rhyme shit and make you feel better.
Yeah, it's true. Whenever I think of Greg now, I just think of him with a stupid toilet coffee mug. I just imagine him holding it there, sipping out of it.
It's so ironic. It's like he signed up for a life of eating shit just so he'd never have to get a job.
You're right, baby. He's like, I will eat shit both literally and figuratively. Yes. So drink out of this toilet.
Baby, you right. Your eyes shine like mine, baby, because when I look in you, I see me too, baby.
Drink, blush. Yeah. Eat shit.
Oh, I love
that. That shit. You got to retire sometime.
And it's like, it's just, I don't know. Greg, he's just there to hold a purse in his oversized Men's Warehouse button down that's untucked. Everything is like a shirt that was worn from like 1988, like Wall Street guy wore it, and he wears it untucked as a casual.
Baby, when you got a show with flour, you got a show with power, baby. Tommy Bahama, no more drama, Bahama Mama.
Flush.
Baby, you're in Cinderella, and I'm your fella. So you gotta get an umbrella, and if not, let's drink a Stella from my toilet and shell gasoline. I don't know.
Flush.
Flush.
I love that if I just keep it going long enough, I can bait you into trying it. Like a little kid. I'm like, but climbing this tree is fun. That's hanging right over the freeway. It's really fun. And then he gets hit by a Mack truck.
Yeah, pretty much. With Shervin and sliders. So meanwhile, the rest of the ladies went to the Philippines for actually a pretty uneventful trip. So far, I mean, let's see. So they went. They did yoga, and okay. I was just about to talk about Candy falling asleep in yoga, and at that moment, Ronnie conveniently just completely fell off the call. So
because I'm like that bitch. Yeah, I fall asleep in yoga many times.
I was about to say.
The only reason I ever took yoga is because I saw the class and I saw them laying down in there. I was like, that's a class for me.
Well. I've actually never taken a yoga class. I've only done yoga, like, from, like, a DVD in my living room. I'm afraid to do it in a class. I'm afraid I will fall asleep. And I'm afraid I will fart.
They come and fix you, you know? They'll, like, move your butt forward and tell you what you're doing wrong. Yeah. If you do it at home, you'll be like, why do my knees hurt?
That's true.
I would like to point out that Buddha was fat, though. So I quit that class.
Yeah. Good point. What was I going to say about yoga, etc.? So Candy fell asleep. So that's one thing that was exciting that happened on the trip. Someone fell asleep on the trip.
Well, I just like that it was this it's a spiritual trip because everybody's been fighting. And Claudia's like, listen, it's really important for me that everybody gets along because I'm just that kind of person. I want everybody to just get along. Yes. And, you know, like, I know you all think of me as a hippie. I'm like, actually, I think I just saw you call someone a ratchet hoe like 20 times a couple weeks ago. But yeah. So, no, I didn't think that. But
yeah.
And so she's trying to have this, like, peaceful trip, which you can't do in L.A. I mean, why, like, Jesus Christ, people, go to Santa Fe.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the Philippines to have a nice dinner, you know?
But everybody in America has seen Real Housewives of Atlanta, and anywhere near America has seen Real Housewives of Atlanta, and no one will give them free rooms anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's like, listen, all you do is get, like, ex-con sperm in our hot tubs, ruin our rooms, and then Peter's like walking around bossing people around.
Yeah.
Hey, you work for me. I'm your boss now. Bought one.
They can't even get a room in that timeshare that they sent all the women on Real Housewives of New Jersey to last season in Florida. They're like, oh, timeshare people are like, oh, no, we don't want your type here. Send them to the Philippines.
Yeah. Next year, they're going to be like, cast trip Iraq. <That's great. laughs> You guys are staying in a straw hut right behind enemy lines. Yeah. Have fun.
ISIS is like, actually, we're not sure we're going to grant those filming permits.
ISIS is all, we'll be out of town for that 2 weeks.
Yeah, ISIS is like,
the terrorists can't even take it.
We'll just start beheading ourselves now, actually. Thanks. Tasteless joke.
Well, it's ISIS. What are you supposed to do?
That's true. So, actually, there was a nice scene, though. Like, Claudia and Phaedra had a nice moment where they bonded over their divorces, etc. Claudia started to get choked up over her divorce because there was there an honesty issue of some sort? I don't know.
I wasn't really sure what was going on with that. Like, now we're suddenly...
Well, it was a little weird to me because I was like, Claudia was trying to really connect with Phaedra, but so she's like, I want to really learn about you, so let me just talk about myself for a while. But, I mean, I sort of got it because she was just trying to say, like, listen, if you need someone to talk to about these things, I'm there for you. Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. Nice enough. And Phaedra's like, I don't think I really want to talk about that with you, so thanks.
Yeah, Phaedra's like, I'm not going to talk about that with you right now, okay?
Yeah, but it was fine.
It was nice, yeah. She, you know, someone tried to talk to Phaedra. I love that Phaedra refused to accept an apology.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like that. I know that Phaedra's like a huge bitch in a lot of people's eyes for doing stuff like that, but I actually kind of respect that because... When somebody's called you a hoe and possibly made up a bunch of texts to make you look stupid and tried to fuck your husband and, you know, done all the other shit, they've both done stuff to each other. But all the stuff they've done to each other, you don't just say, I'm sorry, and then it's over.
Right. This isn't Melbourne, okay? This is Atlanta. Yeah. Well, but, and I love the way Phaedra deals with it, because Cynthia, you know, Cynthia offers up her apology. She's like, I was wrong, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Claudia's like, well, Phaedra, do you have anything that you want to say to Cynthia? And Phaedra just goes, next course, please.
Yeah. It's all about the food.
Yeah, and then she says in her interview, she's like, I will not be featuring Cynthia in my movie theater anytime soon. I was like, that doesn't even make any sense, but I like it.
Yeah, I like that she just keeps coming up with new ones no matter what.
Yeah, she's like, I will not be featuring a Cynthia vacuum bag in my Hoover, so it doesn't make sense.
I will not be putting a, well, who is it? Who are we talking about? Cynthia. I will not be putting a Cynthia Swiffer on my Swiffer sweeper to clean my floors. Thank you.
Yeah. There will be no Cynthia cactus in my flower pot. Thank you.
I will not be pulling the string to open my bag of Cynthia cheese to use for my quesadillas later. Thanks.
I will not be checking out the Cynthia book from the library. Thank you.
I will not be eating the Cynthia-flavored Jelly Belly in my multi-flavored Jelly Belly bags. Thank you.
When I eat my Oreo, I will take off the two cookies, but I will not be eating the cream-filled Cynthia on the inside. I will be scraping that off and depositing it in the trash. Thank you.
I will not be taking the Cynthia train from Grand Central Station. Thanks.
I will not be taking the Cadbury cream egg with Cynthia cream on the inside. I will instead have the Cadbury egg with the hard shell instead. Thanks.
I will not be eating the Cynthia cheese. I will instead order a skinny cow.
Yes. I will not be having a jalapeno popper with Cynthia cream cheese in the middle. I will just have a jalapeno. Thank you.
Because they make less sense each time.
No,
I will not be buying a Cynthia fish from my aquarium. Thank you. My aquarium is full.
There will not be a Cynthia foot in my shoe. I will just have to cut off my own leg. Thank you.
Okay, so what else happened on the show? This was like a lot of apologizing.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of eating. That's why at one point I wrote down this quote. I don't even remember the context. I think because they were supposed to be eating vegan stuff, and someone snuck in some like real meat. And Candy's like, "Thank the Lord for chicken." I was like, "Yes, Candy. See now, Riley needs chicken."
Yeah, all Candy cares about is the food. She's like, "I don't know why we're fighting." But yeah. I love chicken. Like, all right, Candy's earning her spot. And I also like that Candy can take care of her issues without being a total slut about it, you know? Yeah. She's just
good
like,
for you. By the way, Ronnie, good,
our shit.
Good for you for not saying the C word there. I felt like you wanted to say it. No. You were like that slut.
I haven't said that one time this whole year.
Yeah, except for last week.
No.
Didn't you say it last week and then you apologized?
No, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that can go on the bingo thing right there. Ronnie,
yeah, I don't remember that if that happened.
But you know what was funny to me was how quickly and how easily they all can devolve into bickering. Because at one point when Cynthia and Phaedra were trying to work things out, then like I think Portia started to like giggle with Candy, and then Claudia's like, "Why is that funny?" And then Portia's like, "Excuse me, I was not talking to you. I'm allowed to giggle if I want. So hush now." And then Candy's like, "You don't get to tell me to hush." And Portia's like, "I can't tell anyone I want to hush. No, you hush now." Da, da, da. And suddenly they are full-fledged fighting over nothing.
Yeah, they wouldn't even remember what it was the next day.
"But she told me to stop laughing. Who's you to tell me to stop laughing? Don't check me. I don't appreciate being checked. We're here to talk about peace, and you're trying to check me?"
Like, oh, poor.
They get into these fights with all this, like, entitlement of, like, everything is like, "You're not allowed to tell me this."
A boyfriend or a friend. I mean, do something. All we've seen Portia do, I think, in the past two seasons. So one time she went to buy shoes with her sister. She rented some house with no furniture in it that she can't afford 3 miles away from Atlanta. And then the rest of the time is just her saying stupid shit that she doesn't know anything about slavery or, you know,
Underground
just like ignorant comments.
She's like, "I bought a monthly pass the Underground Railroad. I can ride as long as I want for free for every month." So the thing is that, like, there's so
she
much...
was funny today when she was at the airport and they were like, "Hey, how much did you bring?" She's like,
"Well, I got to go change clothes because... I'm just wearing this to get on the plane, and then I got comfortable stuff on the plane."
Like, you got the costume change for the plane?
Yeah.
She's like,
"Women, you in an international airport? Do you know how many hot single rich men that are on the airport?"
That's funny. Although it is, but I did read it, some stupid like book about how to be a lady. I read like a page where it said like, "Women, stop wearing like Juicy Couture sweatpants in the airport." Do you know how it was saying the same thing? Like, there are a lot of like wealthy men who are flying. You got to look your best, ladies. So I sort of understood that, although she was taking it to an extreme. But you know, the thing is, there is like so much entitlement with these women that they are constantly going off the handle where they're saying like, "You can't tell me to say that. You're not allowed to say that. You can't tell me this." It's like, you know what? Maybe once in a while think to yourself like, "Oh, maybe she is allowed to tell me that. Maybe I am doing something wrong." Like, just chillax, especially Portia. Although Claudia was so funny doing Portia's walk. That was a highlight for me. Remember that when she sort of like did that?
Wait, who?
Claudia. At one point, she's like, "I'm gonna do the Portia walk," and she like did this, like, moving her ass.
I love that girl. I'm really liking the cast this season. I think they're super fun to watch.
Except for Demetria.
Again, like I don't even have a lot to bitch about with these ladies. I just really enjoy watching it. Also, Bravo is milking the hell out of this show. I think it's about to be episode 20, and they haven't even announced the season finale yet.
I know. There hasn't been any talk about a reunion. Oh, no. I think actually with just today there was a tidbit about a reunion and that Demetria wasn't invited, which is fine. Demetria does nothing except sort of stand there and look doe-eyed.
Yeah, I think that in any reunion where you've got cast members that don't work out, you should just bring in Chef Penny. just ask Chef Penny what she thinks, because you know she has an opinion.
Yeah. Chef Penny, quickly, get on the reunion.
Nothing. Get on in. Let's talk. All right, let's talk about the Blood, Sweat, and Heels premiere.
Blood, Sweat, and Heels is back. Now, last season, it's funny, the show started off really strongly, and I loved it, and then it kind of like got really boring. But I think this season looks like it's off to a good start. Poor Daisy. Ugh, my heart broke for that poor girl.
When Daisy said, well, because of course, Daisy is kind of a nerd, and she's kind of obnoxious, and we'd like to make fun of her a lot last year.
Right.
And so, of course, when she came on, my notes were like, Roots, bad wig, blah, blah, blah. And then she says she has cancer. And I was like, I'm a horrible human being, and yeah. Now I'm sobbing.
Yeah, way to go,
because
Melissa
I was
Ford.
So horrible, you yeah. know?
I felt bad. You know, the thing is this. Daisy can be annoying. We definitely dinged her for a lot of things last season, but I think at her core she does seem like a very sweet girl.
Yeah, and she seems like a nice girl.
Although even if you're not sweet, it's not like you just don't deserve to have cancer no matter what. And
look,
I think
Carrot Top doesn't deserve bile duct cancer.
Yeah, but does he have that?
No, that's what she had.
Oh,
she had cancer in her bile duct. I'm saying even the most awful people in the world don't deserve cancer in their bile ducts.
Right. I thought you were talking about Carrot Top, the actual comedian, had bile duct cancer.
No, no, I'm saying even people like Carrot Top don't deserve that. I mean, right. That's like a terrible fate. Like, yeah. if we've made fun of her or not, like you...
Yeah, no one deserves
even
that.
Even if we've enjoyed making fun of someone, no one would hope that...
Right, but you know, that, you know, and the thing is this, like, this is like the first time I think on Bravo that we've really seen one of their stars be in the throes of it. We've had, like, the fake cancers, and we've had the I had cancer.
God's disease that's chronic, yeah. And I'm eating lemon-flavored jelly bellies because China told me to get rid of it.
Yeah, but, like, I think, to me, the most poignant scene of all, like, I think the hardest scene to watch was her walking up a staircase, and she could barely do it, and she's, like, not, she doesn't want anyone to know she has cancer, and she's out of breath, and she's just trucking on, just trying to get to Kathy Lee and Hoda. And I thought, like, this is, you know, this is remarkable. This, you know, like her spirit is great, but also, like, you know, it's sort of like fuck, like, the, all the, what's her, Ambers of New Jersey, and, like, the Kim Zolciaks and whatever for, like, trying to even exploit something that's not, it's like, you know, this is a woman right here who actually has cancer, and she is struggling, and it made me really mad. It made me really mad at all those storylines about fake cancer. Because, you know, when you see this, this girl at 34 can barely make it up a staircase, just trying to get to Kathy Lee, you know, I don't know, like, my heart really went out to her, and I felt like, you know, this was real, and it just, I don't know, it just really, you know.
Juxtaposed with the fakeness of Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yes. Could you imagine in the throes of cancer having to go on there and having to, like, be like, this is the best macrame best of the fall.
God, that's that whole Kathy Lee and Hoda show.
I know, right? Manic Mondays, am I right?
God, who watches that? Those women make me fucking crazy.
I know.
Shut up! Yeah. I did feel bad for her because she's like, no matter what she does, things just never really go this girl's way, yeah. Okay? She shows up there, she's got to walk up some stairs. Then they're
by the way, I was like,
dance.
I don't want.
Then she's got to dance. Then they set her up against a background that's exactly the same color as her dress, so she's just basically a floating head. Like, this whole thing is not going well.
Oh, poor Daisy.
What is her product? Is it something where it's like a belt that just brings in the waist? What is it now?
I don't even remember.
Is it like a weight belt? Is something like cinch the waist or like waister size? It's, yeah. See, we don't even remember the product. It's not a good product.
Yeah.
But it's something where she puts it on fat ladies, and I think it just makes her waist look smaller so that even if they're still big, it looks like they have a shape. So it's like some kind of, I'm imagining it as like just a rope with her face on it that people tie around their fat part really tight, so at least they got like an hourglass.
I don't even remember this belt from the episode. I'm like, I think I was just like still weeping.
I don't
weeping.
Think it's a belt. I don't even remember what the product was, but she was there to advertise her new thing, which is for big women to have an hourglass figure. And they showed the before picture, and it was just like a big, like my 600-pound life woman. And then she came out to model something, and it was the same woman, but her waist was cinched in. So she had like a figure.
Oh, yeah. I somehow missed all of that. I really don't know how I missed it. I think I was still, like, just replaying the staircase scene in my mind and being like, oh, Daisy.
No, it's like shapewear for hand planets. Aww. It was cute, though. Like, you know, I mean, why not? Maybe I'll get that.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with Daisy. So Daisy first told Micah, which was a very sad scene, you know, because, like, it was a real moment. And she was, like, when she was describing it, and it was, like, you know, the thing is also, sometimes on these shows... I'm going to try to say this delicately so I don't sound like an asshole. sometimes on these shows, a lot of times what you get is like breast cancer scares, and breast cancer is a very serious and scary thing, but it's almost like normalized for us in a sense that like we see it on these shows. People get breast cancer and then they get it taken out, whatever, and then they go through chemo and then they're fine, which is obviously not the way breast cancer is every single time, but you're sort of like, you're almost used to like skin cancer, breast cancer things. And so for when Daisy said like it was in her liver and then there are other cells, you know, it's just like, this was like a deep, very scary cancer.
Yeah, because when she said, yeah, oh, so they got it all? Because she said, oh, I had it in my bile duct, and they took it out, and then they did another test. And she's like, oh, so you got it? They got it? And she's like, no, they found more, you know, yeah. Stage three, which is
yeah,
scary.
Stage three. Yeah, that's. I think that's the thing. It's like, it's not to demean breast cancer, because breast cancer is very scary and very real, but it's more like,
it well, just these shows like, often very... use shit like that as like victim storylines just to get some, yeah. You know, like Almost Cancer from whatever.
Yeah, and of course a cancer scare at like three different
what
shows.
Is Almost Cancer?
That was Married to Medicine. It was
Married to Medicine. Yeah, she where Lisa had almost cancer. She's like, yeah. I'm gonna go get my test at some point.
I can't believe you even remember her name. I can't believe you even remember her name. I mean, listen,
isn't that her name? I think it was her name, Lisa.
I think so. Here's the thing. I mean, a cancer care is legitimately scary.
I remember
scary.
It because Lisa Bonet was the whitest Cosby daughter. And she's like the whitest Married to Medicine person besides, oh my God, I can't believe you're so rude.
Oh, yeah.
Got fired. Carrie.
Duncan.
Duncan.
No, I mean, a cancer care is scary. But still, to milk it for like five episodes is like
but
not
people
cool.
use it. Yeah, people use it as a storyline. And it desensitizes you. One time my mom thought she, you know, my mom had a breast cancer scare a long time ago. And she's like, I expected more of a reaction from you. I said, I'm freaked out. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm here for you. Let me know what I can do, if I can come in town, whatever. She's like, well, Carly cried. Like, she was offended that I didn't cry. And I said, Mom, I watch Housewives. Like, I don't take anything like this seriously unless you're in a hospital, because the Housewives have desensitized me. Everybody, there's been at least one person on every season who's almost had something. I'm like, right. Call me when it's time to go to chemo and I'll be sobbing by your side. But I just can't let myself cry until then, because the Housewives have ruined my soul.
Yeah. Well, Daisy, I will cry for Daisy, but I hope she gets through it and everything. But when she described it to Micah, that was honestly like a very emotional scene. I was like, oh my gosh. And then later on in the episode, you know, Melissa Ford was upset with Daisy because Daisy had been a little absent, for obvious reasons, but Melissa didn't know why, and so she had sort of confronted Daisy. And then Daisy told Melissa, and I don't know, I thought that was a very moving scene, because it was a very real emotion. You could see it on Melissa's face, learning about it,
yeah, those were
feeling bad, and like didn't know what to say. And then Daisy said something very poignant, which is that she doesn't like to tell people because she winds up the one comforting them. And because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this is crazy that Daisy is sitting there hugging Melissa. It should be the other way around.
I know, but that's why you don't really keep it secret. You just like put it on Facebook or something. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, like I know I'm sound like I'm being a dick, but I complain all the time when people put shit like that on Facebook because it's so annoying. You know, it's like not that they have cancer, but like every sad thing that happens in their life, because sometimes it seems like people are trying to get social media attention because they're just sad.
Mm-hmm.
But something like that is a huge deal, and to have to go around to each of your friends, I mean, that's a lot of lunches.
Yeah, and a lot of emotional lunches, yeah.
Yeah, because of course, like, I know you're comforting them, but that is part of it, you know? It's going to hurt us if you're sick, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that was.
But also, I love that she waited for Melissa to be mad at her for a while. She's like, okay, go ahead and have your say. And Melissa's like, you missed my parties. And Remember that modeling thing? And remember that other thing where I was doing monologues about my vagina and you didn't come? And she's like, well, I have cancer. Well, like, she let her dig herself a grave and then fall into it.
You know, the thing is this. If you're going to have cancer, you might as well use it as you might as well enjoy those moments.
Make the bitch cry. Make her pay for lunch.
Here we go. Okay, now here's my finishing move. Boom. Yeah.
If you're going to have to go to that many crying lunches, at least get them paid for. Yeah. You know? Melissa's like, I've got $5 in my account, but I've still got credit.
Meanwhile, so Melissa's doing producing a musical about her life called Who Cares? Just kidding.
Okay, she's producing a musical about her life, about how hot she is, okay? So here's the cast. Ugly women who are jealous of her and disgusting straight guys who just want to bone her. I mean, come on now. That's the saddest damn thing I've ever seen. And not only that, but it's called something like... Oh, God, I couldn't even write it down.
It was long, right?
it's a take on for colored girls who have considered suicide under the other side of the rainbow or something, which is like actually a beautiful poetic play about black people emotions and history and trying to overcome and all of this. And she takes this beautiful poetic title that furthered her race and uses it as a slut mobile for herself. I mean, it's just like,
that's like this one time about like 11 years ago, I saw this awful play out here in LA. I forget what it was called, but it was basically like the hot chick answer to the vagina monologues. And like every monologue was like, how difficult it is to be a hot chick. No one takes you seriously. And oh my God, I got drugged. No, 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 no. Oh my God, I'm doing a shot. And it was so insufferable and narcissistic. I was like, no, I get it. I get it. Like, you don't get taken seriously if you're hot. But like, I'm sorry, I cannot sit through 90 minutes of, you know, this pity party.
Just to be clear, I had to look it up, but the original show is for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. Most acclaimed theater piece, it consists of a series of poetic monologues to be accompanied by dance movements and music, a form Shange coined as the Cora poem. For Colored Girls tells the stories of seven women who have suffered depression in a racist and sexist society. So that's basically what she's stealing her title for.
Yeah.
Wow. Classy. And I have to see Melissa Ford musical because
we have to
give people that title for people who don't watch it because that shit's hilarious.
Maybe if Melissa Ford had joined A Mother's Love, maybe that production would have still been
A Mother's Love.
I would have seen that. A Mother's Love. I would have totally seen that.
Nothing's even showing up for her musical, so I don't know if it ends up not happening or what.
Yeah. Do a search for community theater in the Ozarks and Melissa Ford. Maybe you'll find it there.
Kicking for Colored Girls in the Nuts by Melissa Ford. Let's see where that is.
Kicking for Colored Girls in the Nuts? Huh?
Kicking.
Oh, I see.
Kicking the original play in the Nuts. Anyway, screw that. But that play looks really sad and hilarious, and I would totally watch it if it was $5 at CKTS.
Yeah. I would watch that before I'd watch Cinderella. So.
And then we get Demetri. Wait. Demetri. Which one was Demetri?
Wesley Snipes is Genevieve. Or Geneva. Geneva.
Geneva. Geneva. Okay. So Demetri is the blogger. Yeah. She's so monotone. She's like, I am still writing my blog and I'm getting married and I'm really not into it, like, but we have to take pictures.
Yeah,
and we don't like to cuddle in public, but we had to for the pictures. And
wow.
Glad you're back.
I know. You know, she is definitely very smart. I think she's very, very smart. But, oh, God, she is a killjoy.
She is. The only reason she's on here is because she got so many more blog followers.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, which, again, is why she's smart. But, like, she's like a killjoy. And it's like, I want to love her. But there's something about her that's just, like, a little nasty. And kind of, like, you know that, like, she's very condescending, too. You know that, like, at a coffee, like, a not kind of coffee, at, like, a cocktail party, she'd just make you feel like shit. Like, you make some comment, and she'd be the type that you'd make a comment about this, like, I love this show, and you'd be like, she'd be the one be like, well, I don't know about that, but okay, I mean, if you like it, you like it. And I'd be like,
no. Yeah, she's a bit much. Yeah. But, you know, she is fun to watch fight.
Yeah, she's good in a fight. She's really good in a fight. The other thing is, let's see, so Genevieve, she got rid of her bangs. I keep calling her Genevieve, Geneva. Geneva got rid of her bangs, and I like how she's like, ooh, well, you know, I'm no longer at Uptown Magazine, I'm writing for myself, da-da-da-da-da, and she says it in this, like, happy way as if she moved on. You know she totally got fired from that magazine. There's no way.
She's making unemployment sound so fun.
Yeah, she's like, I am writing, I'm in an apartment I can't afford, I don't have
bangs.
I'm doing
my own project, snap, 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 I moved to Wall Street, snap, snap, and her mom's like, coin here, coin there, coin everywhere, and she's like, yes, mother, snap, snap. You know that's all your mother's coins that she's throwing at
sex
you.
Therapist.
We're not. You are still being supported by your mother. Get over it. We don't believe you for one second.
Yeah, you were 100% fired, I believe, from Uptown Magazine. That's pretty much all that happened with Geneva that episode. Then we have.
Is she the one that gets thrown in jail later for cracking a bottle on somebody's head?
On Melissa Ford's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Then we have Micah, who is crazy as ever. I mean, she cracks me up. She's broken up with her boyfriend. What was his name? Greg, I think, or whatever his name was. They're done.
For unspecified reason. She's like, you know, I didn't know if I could trust him with this. And it's not just that. It's finances and women and houses and cars and skates. It's right. Like, what?
And, you know, they flash back to, they did a lot of flashbacks to her big fights last season, you know, when the girls called her an alcoholic. And, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, because we've obviously talked about it a billion times with Beverly Hills. And they flash back to a scene from last season where they were like, no, don't call someone alcoholic. Those are very heavy words. Those are damaging words. And I started to think, like, you know what? I don't want that to be taken from me. I think we should have a right to call someone an alcoholic. Because if you act like an alcoholic, then you're going to be called an alcoholic. And then it's up to you to prove us that you're not an alcoholic. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You know?
We're allowed to call people an alcoholic.
We're not calling you a child molester. You know? We're saying, like, oh, based on the fact that you spread your legs at a party where it's, like, not a frat party, and you acted crazy, and you were wasted these, you know, in these three or four past times I saw you, you know, I think you seem like an alcoholic. I think it's safe to say that, and that goes to Micah and to Kim Richards.
Yeah, well, I'm going to save my alcoholism ranting for the next podcast, because I know I'm going to have a lot after that, Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh. But your bingo board's ready.
That if you show up somewhere drunk and acting like a damn fool, and people tell you you're acting like a damn fool, and then you start screaming and yelling, you know, they have a right to say that that's obnoxious.
Yeah.
I don't care. Now, I think that it is weird when they're like, you're an alcoholic, so I'm going to shun you.
But yes, that's different. That's different.
That's not very nice.
Yes,
I mean, my friend has got a drug problem. He's still my friend. I just tell him, listen, I'll hang out with you when you're not fucked up. Just don't come over here fucked up, because then you'll probably steal things from me.
Yeah. Okay?
Come over when you're sober and not accusing me of stealing your drugs.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Yeah. Well observed.
Full relationship. Well
observed. That being said, I still love Micah. I think she's hilarious.
I love Micah. I love that she's laying down on a fucking lounger.
Yeah.
During her whole thing, singing songs and obviously drunk crazy. While she's doing it.
What was that thing? At one point, she started doing something. She's like, 7, 7, 7. What was that thing she was doing? It was cracking me up. She was like, she was doing like a low class accent. She was like, seven, these, seven, that. I was like, dying.
When she's like, I think it was something like, yeah, you need to step away from your life for a minute and take a break. Step away. Yeah, take a step away. Take a step away from your life. Step it away. Step back. And she just kind of calmed down. She's just probably a little attention whore-y and needy, but great for TV.
Yeah, great for TV. I love her. I'm hoping that the season will be good. The new women that they showed in the preview look very promising.
Oh my god, they look so good.
Yeah, that one like British woman's like, well, if you can't make it to New York, you have to go somewhere like second rate, like Atlanta. I was like, yes. That was so great. That I'm sure like everyone on Real Housewives of Atlanta, they are gonna hate her.
Yeah, I'm loving this. I'm loving it. I think that they're already laying the groundwork for a really fun season, and they brought in some people to start some real fights. So I think it's gonna be a very good season. I'm trying to think here. Let me see what else I wrote. Monotone, Daisy.
Well, it looks like Demetria and the British woman have a spat, because the British woman had like, I wish I wrote it down. In the preview, she had a great response to Demetria, and Demetria like lost her shit. It was something about like holding on to her sides or something like that. Her shizzle, basically saying that she's fat. You know, classic fat shaming.
Fat shaming. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our night, Benjamin.
Oh my god! And it's still sunny out.
I know. Look at that.
And you know what's funny? It's also just 1:51 p.m. So, well, this was fun. Fun way to kick off the week. And we will be doing these normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But in this case, this week, I actually am going to be on a plane on Thursday. So,
well, we can still just put it out on Thursday.
We could, couldn't we?
Yeah, let's just put it out on Thursday.
So that's what we'll do.
So there we go. Tuesday afternoons and Thursday afternoons.
Next episode, Thursday afternoon. Get ready.
Yes, Miami's. And I guess the bonus episodes will be out Thursday afternoons as well, guys.
Probably.
So yeah, come on our Facebook page and tell us if you want us to talk about something for the bonus episodes. Because otherwise you're going to listen to me clip my nails and talk about how they need to change the color of the straws at Starbucks.
We will talk about, hopefully if we remember, the new shows that Bravo has ordered and the ones they have ordered for second season. I mean, you can just go to our Facebook page and see them because Michael Cook posted them, which is very helpful. But we will probably go into depth about that on the bonus episode.
Yes, so come on and join us, y'all. Thanks for everything, and thanks for all the support.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.